Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise today. It is so good to be with you here this morning. For all of you that are here in the building and even for those of you that are worshiping online, it is so great just to be together this these last few weeks. We have been working through a sermon series called Stronger Together. We have felt very directly how it feels to be by ourselves for about 6 months or so. But how much better does it feel when we can get together, when we can encourage one another, when we can love on each other, when we can just hear the word of God through each other? How awesome is it that we can actually come together and be stronger together? And I'm reminded even this morning of the fact that for those of us who are able to be here in this building, like, this is a great encouragement for all of us, even in terms of worship and just how exciting all of that is. But even for those that are worshiping online as well, I know your desire may be to actually be here in this building worshiping with us, but I am so glad that we are all able to worship together, even if that is virtually across the internet there. I always think of... for those of you who know of the movie Willy Wonka and Wonka Vision, right? Whenever he shrinks the chocolate down, right? He puts it in millions of tiny pieces that are floating across the air, right? That's kind of what's happening to us in worship even right now. And so I'm so thankful that if you're here, you're able to be a part of this. And even if you're not here in this building, the millions of tiny pieces are able to make it right where you are that we could all worship together today. If you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're going to get there here in just a moment. Today, as we continue to look at how it is that we are stronger together as a church and stronger together in Christ, we're going to look at the importance of loving your neighbor and bringing strength to one another as we love our neighbors. And so I want to just illustrate that in a couple of different ways here in just a moment. But before we get to that, let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Lord God, we do thank you so much for your presence here with us. I thank you, God, that your power is at work even now. I thank you, Lord, that you are hearing the worship that we are offering up to you. I trust, God, that it is a pleasant aroma to your nose, Father. We seek, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that we are doing, Father, for we would not dare to come together just so that we could check the box off of our list, God, but we come together in order that we might glorify you, that we might please you, God. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your love and your presence here among us even now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours. God, I pray that you would speak in this place, that your message alone would be heard here, God, and that you would give us all the courage to say yes to you, whatever it is that you might be leading us into. Father, help us to hear and to respond to your word, even as you are hearing from us and responding to our faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read for you. I want to just kind of jump into the text here. I want to read for you out of Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And for those of you who are in community groups, really want to, I think this week's study is going to be a lot of fun for you. And we get into some heavies there. And so there's some really good discussion and all that. And so if you're not a part of a community group yet, I really want to encourage you to get signed up. There's still several groups that you can choose from to be a part of, and be a really great way to process this word beyond even what I'm going to share here this morning. But Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' And he answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.'" That was the expert in the law who was speaking there, by the way. Verse 28, "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Verse 29, "But The expert in the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" See, if we would just keep our mouths shut sometimes, you know what I'm saying, church? Like, I could just stop right there and just preach for the rest of the afternoon here. Just if we just keep our mouths shut and just be happy with the word that we got from the Lord, right? He just said, do this and live. Why can't we just be happy with that, right? We just got to ask one more question, don't we? No, but he had some ulterior motive in this too. I trust that we do not. Verse 30, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, a hated Samaritan, ooh, them Samaritans, man, they might as well be from Michigan. By the way, if you're a guest here today and you're from Michigan, please don't take that personally. I just realized that some people may not understand why I think that's funny. But anyway, let me keep going here. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. And so concludes the story that Jesus was telling the expert in the law. But then verse 36, he says, Jesus says, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, begrudgingly, I think I could probably imply there. He replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Today, I want for us to talk about how we define the word neighbor. Because what was happening in this story was that Jesus was actually redefining what it was to be a neighbor, right? So a neighbor, just to kind of geek out on you a little bit here, I'll try to keep it short. A neighbor, like in the Greek text, the neighbor is just a near one, right? Particularly the Jewish community understood that to mean that your neighbor was those that were also Jewish, because your Jewish brothers and sisters are to be near you. In fact, they tried to keep Samaritans as far away from as possible. And so in their understanding, Jewish people were not to go in the homes of Gentiles or Samaritans who were thought to be sort of half-breed Jews, if you will. They were Jewish, but then they married outside of the Jewish faith, and so they were treated kind of as Gentiles. So they were not even to go in the home of Gentiles. So they weren't supposed to be near to, quote-unquote, those people, right? Yet the word itself just simply means near ones. And Jesus goes through this story here, and as he's telling this story, obviously the Samaritan is one who is not near where this takes place, yet he is physically near the person who needed help. Now again, let me just clarify, this is a story that Jesus made up just to prove a point, okay? It's so intriguing that he uses a Samaritan whom the expert in the law would have been trying to avoid in his definition of a neighbor. Let me see if I can sort of paint a picture here for you. See, what the expert in the law was trying to do was he was trying to define a neighbor based off of coronavirus rules, right? I think we could probably all sort of get that, right? So when it all came, you know, kind of came down early on, right? And they were saying, okay, you can only be in groups of 50. No. You can only be in groups of 10. No. Just don't talk to anybody, right? That's kind of eventually where I feel like we got anyway. But the whole point was that you need to make your circle smaller and smaller so that your risk of contamination or your risk of infection gets smaller and smaller, right? And so the people that you were willing to hang out with were those that you knew where they came from and you knew where they were going, right? You knew who they were hanging out with. You knew where they traveled and if they had traveled. You knew if they had quarantined themselves or if they hadn't. You knew if they were going out to restaurants or they were just ordering groceries to be delivered at home. Like these are the people, like the people you would be with are the people that maybe were in your family that you know, like all they're doing is going to work or back, or maybe they're just doing school at home and doing work at home, and so they're not really leaving. So they're safe people, right? Because they've not been contaminated by the rest of the world either. And so I can hang out with them because I know that I'm not getting anything from them that I really don't want to get, right? Isn't this kind of how it works with coronavirus, right? And even now, as we are beginning to maybe begin to expand those circles a little bit, we find ourselves with sort of a different set of rules in this, right? I mean, for example, for those of you who are in the building right now, like you're around more than just 10 people, but you're doing this in a very particular way, right? With your masks and your distance and everything, you're not shaking hands and hugging people, like those kinds of things. You're still finding ways that even though you may be in the vicinity of others, you are still kind of keeping each other at a distance in order to minimize risk. Now, let me just clarify that for your health, I am encouraging that, all right? There will come a day again where you can hug everybody in the room if you want to. That day's just not today. And so I would appreciate if you don't go around hugging everybody in the room, right? But this is kind of how the elder or the expert in the law was kind of understanding what it was to be a neighbor. The neighbor is the one who's in the inner circle, right? The neighbor is the one that you know where they've been and you know where they're going, is the one that you can trust. And everybody else is to be avoided at all cost. Because if you don't, then you risk getting contaminated in this particular way. You risk getting contaminated spiritually, even beyond just a virus, right? Well, Jesus had a whole nother way of looking at who our neighbors are. Yeah. And it was this, in short, it's this idea of vicinity, right? So whoever is in your vicinity right now, whoever is around you, like in that, whoever is near to you in that moment, like that is your neighbor. And so if you are to love your neighbor as yourself, it's according to Jesus here, your neighbor is not just Jewish people, but your neighbor is the one who is there with you. See, I think that while the expert in the law was trying to define a neighbor according to coronavirus rules, I think that Jesus was trying to define your neighbor based on tornado warning rules. Now, I know we don't have a whole lot of tornadoes here in Houston, but growing up in Columbus, Ohio, we would have tornadoes sometimes and everything. And in fact, they happened often enough that they had these tornado sirens to warn you, right? And so every Wednesday at noon, they would test these sirens. I feel like I'm saying this word weird now all of a sudden. Anyway, and it would just woo! It's like every Wednesday at noon, right? The elementary school that I went to was right across the street from the fire department, which is where the siren was. And man, we trust me, we knew when it was noon because that thing was loud. And beyond Wednesday at noon, when they would test it, the only other time it would go off is if in that area they saw that there was a funnel cloud. Now, a funnel cloud, just for those of you who are wondering, is basically a tornado that hasn't touched the ground yet, all right? And so a funnel cloud is pretty dangerous because that's a sign that, like, you're about to get real messed up right here. So when you hear that siren go off and it's not Wednesday at noon, like your heart begins to go a little bit because you know it's like now. Like here, like we can see a hurricane coming from a month in advance, right? Like we can get to the store, we can order stuff through Amazon, like have it delivered to us while the hurricane's still out there and everything like that. Like with a tornado, it's like you are ready now or it's already too late. Right? I remember one time as a kid, we had a funnel cloud that literally came right over our house. Praise God, it never touched down. Didn't have any big damage or anything from it. But I remember when it happened, there were two things that I remember about that occasion. One was that when the siren first went off, my dad went outside to look up in the sky. That seemed odd to me. But I'll tell you, I do that now too. I don't know what I expect to see, right? Because if there is a tornado, that's not the place to be, right? But I remember him going outside to look up in the sky just to see, like, is it really out there? These weather guys don't know anything, right? Basically, I guess. But the other thing I remember is that my whole family went downstairs in the basement. I'm sorry, let me help you. So a basement is like, so for those of you that have just grown up in Houston, a basement is like, it's like a floor under the ground, basically. They dig a hole in the ground, they build the house up, and it's like a whole nother room in the ground, right? So that's they tell you to go into the, it's kind of like a storm cellar, but like it's part of the house, right? It's amazing. And so we all went down into the basement, and we had a couch down there. And I remember my parents like turned the couch over to where the back of the couch was over top of us. And we were all like huddled in under the couch. And there was this one little window off to the side over here. And so the couch was kind of between us and the window. We're all huddled under there. And we're just listening to the radio trying to figure out like, okay, what's happening right now, right? And in that time, like I am elbow to elbow with my brother, who I am certain 5 minutes before this, we were fighting with each other, right? I can't prove that it was true, but the odds are in my favor that was probably happening, right? And so we're all in there, and we're just, like, the whole time, we're just wondering, are we going to hear the roof come off, right? Anyway, it's really, really kind of fascinating just to that moment when you're just listening, right? Lights are off, and you're huddled under a couch in the basement just hoping that the tornado doesn't get to you. And then in a couple of minutes, it goes by, and we can come out, and we go about our lives, right? See, I think that's the kind of way that Jesus is trying to define who our neighbor really is. Our neighbor is not the one that we want to be with all the time, necessarily. Our neighbor is not the one that is in the inner circle. Our neighbor is the one who happens to be there when the siren goes off. And then when you hear that siren, no matter who is there, you get to this place of safety, and you turn couches over, and it doesn't matter what was going on before there. Right now, all you're concerned about is surviving. All you're concerned about is safety. All you're concerned about is getting through. All you're concerned about is staying stronger together. Right? I think that Jesus here was trying to show the expert in the law that your neighbor is not just the one that is in the inner circle. Your neighbor is the one who is hearing the siren go off and needing you to turn some couches over to love on that person in that moment. A couple of weeks ago, I had a... it must have been more than that. It was probably a month ago now. Beth and I were, you know, many of you have heard about the issues with our kitchen and all that kind of stuff, and it was getting fixed up, and we were almost done with it. I think they were doing some painting or something this particular day. And I think it was a Friday, I was out cleaning out my garage, and while I was out there, I wanted to kind of hose out a couple of trash cans, and but the contractor, his truck was right there by the garage, and so I pulled the trash cans down to the front of the driveway so that I wouldn't get all his stuff all wet. And when I get down there, as I'm kind of rinsing stuff off, I look down, and there's a couple of my neighbors, and like their feet covered in water down on the sidewalk, and they're just kind of running back and forth and everything like that. And I'm just like, what in the world are they doing, right? So I set down my hose and the trash cans and everything, and I just walked down there. And as it turns out, the main water supply that goes into the house had somehow come disjointed from each other, right? So water's just spewing everywhere. And they don't, they, so we go and like out by the curb, there's like that water shut off thing, and they have like the little tool to be able to turn it off, but it's totally full of water, right? And one of the guys who's there helping, he's like, I know where it is, but I don't want to stick my hand down there because there might be a snake in there. Okay, I guess that's a possibility. So we're out there with like with all kinds of buckets and this kind of stuff, and we're just taking water and we're just trying to get it out of off of the sidewalk. Well, the sidewalk, because of just drainage and everything, the sidewalk has kind of sloped right at this thing. So it's like there's like 6 inches of water here, and it's down into the little water shutoff thing too. So we're getting all this stuff out of here, and then we're even trying to get it out of the little water shutoff thing, and like we can't get down far enough to where we can actually see where this thing is to be able to put the tool in to be able to turn it off and everything. And I was just like, you know what, let me just try this. And so I just stick my hand in there and I'm just kind of doing one of these. Right now, what's really hilarious about this is I have no idea what I'm looking for. Right, I may very well find the snake that he's trying to avoid and think that's what I'm going for. All right, I have no idea what I'm looking for. But I'm just, you know, moving my hand around there and everything, and eventually I find something that I think maybe this could be it, right? So he puts the tool, I put it on there, we get it turned, and anyway, the water eventually gets shut off, right? It's a great thing. The contractor that was working on my house actually came down. He actually had, all it was that the PVC pipe just came loose, and so it just needed to be primed and glued again and put right back on there. Contractor did it, didn't charge him anything. Like 5 minutes after we got all the water shut off, like they're good to go, and everything. It was awesome. It was really amazing. And do you know when I got down there, like nobody asked me, like, have you been around anybody with COVID in the last 2 weeks? Nobody asked me, do you have a fever or loss of taste or anything? Before I hand you this bucket. And before you put your hand down in the snake-infested waters, which there wasn't, by the way, I praise God for that, I'm going to need to take your temperature first, right? Yeah. Nobody said that. Matter of fact, they didn't say anything. They just handed me a bucket, right? We didn't actually introduce ourselves until later, which is kind of crazy. But that's kind of the point, right? Like, they're my neighbors because we live next to each other, but in that moment, they were my neighbors because they were near me and they needed help, yeah. Right? They were near me and they needed somebody just to step in and get some water up out of the way. They needed somebody who wasn't afraid of snakes, apparently, or the idea that there might be a snake that would just stick his hand in the water and help get things where they need to be. Church, I think this is what we're called to do. Amen. We're not just called to be coronavirus neighbors, but we're called to be like tornado warning neighbors. That when there's a need, we're willing to step up. We're willing to move forward, whether they are the people that we're supposed to be around or not, right? This is one of the reasons why I am really excited for our community groups as well. Many of you, as you picked groups and everything, you picked groups that you may have already been connected with other people, or you may already know other people that were in your group. That might even be why you picked the group, right? Yet, as we continue on, we are going to continue in this culture of invitation, right? And so you're going to have an opportunity to invite others, you know, people that may live in your neighborhood, people that you work with, family members, others. You're going to be able to invite them in as well. in order that God's word might be able to speak into their lives, and in order that they might be able to be discipled in the word of God, maybe even by you, and within a community that really loves each other. See, the expert in the law was asked, like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, if we aren't careful, we may interpret that to mean that loving our neighbor just simply means keeping the right people around us in order that we don't get tainted. But rather, loving our neighbor means opening ourselves up to bringing other people in order that we might be able to share good news with them. See, we can do that individually, and I want to encourage you. I hope that you are able to do that individually. But we can do that even in our community groups as well. As you're inviting other people in, like, there's a whole community of people there that's able to speak hope and truth and life into people that maybe haven't heard it from people that are the church, maybe even ever before. We have a great opportunity in front of us. And really, at the end of the day, we all have to stop and ask ourselves, who is our neighbor? Who are we loving in order that we might make them stronger as we are together? Hear this now. Here's the different perspective. The coronavirus neighbor is all about how other people can make us stronger, right? But the tornado warning neighbor is all about how we can make them stronger. And it all comes down to us being rooted in Christ in order that he might create an environment in which we can all grow stronger together. We've really got to ask ourselves, when it comes to our faith, are we just trying to insulate ourselves with the people that we have around us? In other words, are we trying to protect ourselves from being corrupted by those out there? Or are we going out there in order that we might find ourselves around some new neighbors? In order that we might be able to share hope and truth and life with people who've never heard it before? In order that we might be able to be stronger together? See, this expert in the law was under the impression that he was strong all by himself. In fact, what's interesting is he probably asked this question just so that Jesus would say that he didn't have to hang out with Samaritans. Isn't that ironic, right? He was probably asking this question of Jesus just so that he could convince others that, see, I need to love my neighbor, but not that guy. And isn't it just like Jesus to say, that guy? No, that's the hero of the story, actually. Will you be the hero of the story? Who is it that you will love on? Who is it that you will be together with in order that you can be stronger together with them? Who is it that you will go out to in order to that together you can be stronger in Christ? Like, who is it that you will disciple? Watch this now. Who is it that you will invest in spiritually? In order that you might lead others to grow in their relationship with Jesus, not just in yourself, but for others. Who will you go and invest in that you might be stronger together with Christ? I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. And I want to invite all of you to stand with me as well, if you would. We're gonna sing one more song here. And as we do, I really want you to evaluate in your own heart this morning, what does it mean for you to love your neighbor? Like, what does that look like for you? What are you open to when you hear that? Or who is it that you're willing to love? And who is it that you're not quite sure that you're really ready to go there yet? The truth of the matter is that person that you're not really sure about may actually be the very person that Jesus is leading you to. How is it that we can be those that love our neighbor in such a way that we're not concerned with what's happened in the past, but that we're going to survive together. We're going to live together. We're gonna see Jesus do redemptive things in our lives together. How is Jesus working in you? Who is that neighbor that he's leading you to? Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word, for your direction. We thank you, Lord, for the neighbors that you have put around us. We thank you, Father, for the neighbors that are around us in this room even right now. We thank you, Lord, for our neighbors that are even watching online right now. God, we thank you for the love that we feel from each other here. But God, even as we leave from this place and we enter into other areas of our lives, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to seeing who our neighbors really are. Help us, Father, to see the work of your Holy Spirit, Father, and the leading of your Holy Spirit, God, that we might love on people that are near us, even if they may not necessarily be in our circle, God. Help us, Father, that we would say yes to you. Help us, Father, we would love those that you love. Help us, Lord, that we would love those that you love in order that we might be able to share good news. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to seeing the opportunities all around us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.